The National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh section of the Oral History Project. We're here today, November 29, 1990, with Marty Wolfson. Could you please state your name, your address, and birthday just for the purposes of the tape recorder?
My name is Marty Wolfson, and my legal name is Martin A. Aaron Wolfson, and I live at 70 Carlton Drive. That's in the South Hills. That's Pittsburgh, PA.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Because I didn't give you my birthday.
All right. We're talking to Marty Wolfson. Did you want to add something to that little bit of information?
Yes, you asked me a question about my birthday.
Your birthday.
And it's
April 6th, 1924.
And I was born on the Hill District.
Great. Okay, I was going to ask you a question about your early upbringing. If there was information you'd like to give us about your father, your mother, your family, siblings, where you lived, and things associated with your early life.
Well, I have no siblings. I was a sort of a lone wolf, you might say. And I was born on the Hill. My father was a city fireman for many, many, many years until he retired.
What was his name?
William. And my mother's name was Ethel.
Were they from this country, or they?
Yes, they were all born in the United States. And as I say, I was born in Pittsburgh and on the Hill.
What was your mother's name?
Turner. T-U-R-N-E-R. And it was at a time when everybody was learning about everybody else, especially on the Hill, where it was such a diversified kind of people living there. Whites, blacks, Jewish, Italian, Irish, all kinds of people. But my main, I would say, focus was the Iron Coffin Settlement. That's where I went as a young child, and spent most of my youth there.
Yeah, that was living there.
It was on the Hill District. It was like second home.
Sure.
And everybody loved the place because everybody was close together. They didn't have any television.
Yeah.
And so therefore, it was a time and a place where the action that you took in playing with other kids or school and going to the settlement and meeting other people of all ages was a great experience. I know it helped me later on when I went into the service.
Do you remember names of teachers or people that were influential?
Yeah. In fact, two of the names that stand out in my mind and probably will always stand out in my mind is Ziggy Kahn. And I just finished designing a logo for these Pittsburgh or Western
Jewish
Pennsylvania Jewish
Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Jewish Sports Hall of Fame, which they are using, of Ziggy and a little kid. And another very dear friend of mine who had a lot to do with my upbringing was Nady Kaufman, who was a very, very, very dear friend. You learn a lot because they took kids under their wing and really spent time teaching the proper things to do, and we were able to grow up under a good atmosphere that way.
How did you get involved with them? Was it sports or was it clubs activities, different kinds of
clubs? I have even worked there. I started working. I worked with kids, the Emma Kaufman camp.
Could you direct your voice more this way?
Oh.
No, I'm sure it'll be fine. It's just,
sorry,
I don't want to throw it.
With the Emma Kaufman camp and the settlement during the summer months when I wasn't going to school. I even worked at the settlement in the basket room.
Oh.
That's where I met a lot of people, believe it or not. People of all ages.
You're making baskets?
No, baskets. This is where they had to come in if they were going to swimming or sports in the gymnasium.
The locker room.
They go to the basket room.
They call
it a basket room because if they could store their shoes and clothing and so forth, and they had to issue a card to show that they were a member of the settlement, so that they knew that they could take advantage of all these activities. It was real interesting, and they get a chance to meet a lot of people of all kinds, and that taught me a lot. So it prepared me for years to come.
Did you start your illustrations at a young age there?
Well, I've been drawing since I've been in the crib, really, because when I was a young kid, when we were living on the hill, my mom used to give me a pencil or a crayon, and I would draw on the walls. So
no formal lessons, or just along the way?
Well, I went to, as I went to school, I had one teacher, which I remember very, very, very distinctly. Her name was Pearl Winterhalter. She was my art teacher.
What
school? McKelvey.
And that's high school?
No, McKelvey grade school. That was up on the hill, but up on Bedford Avenue.
What was her name
again? McKelvey? McKelvey. And a lot of the kids who lived on the hill went there to LSN Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there we went to Heron Hill Junior High School. And from Heron Hill Junior High School down to Fifth Avenue High School. And then all those school experiences is where I developed my artistic background. And I learned quite a bit in each one, and also participated quite a bit in the activities of the school and the community. Always involved with the community.
Mostly at Kaufman Center, or?
From the Irene Kaufman settlement.
And your religious background at the time, what kind of significance was that in your life?
Well, when we lived on Robert Street, which is also on the hill, I participated in services, especially around the high holidays, singing with a cantor Mesrop, and he taught me a great deal. This was the Remanish Shul on Robert Street. Not necessarily. It was Romanian. If they had some Romanish feeling, I guess, about their ancestry, then they, like Litva, Romanian, what other derivations they have, we happen to be that. But
the Balkan states.
Yeah. It was interesting, and I learned a lot, and I've always been involved with my own faith, because after I got in the Army, I found out a lot of things overseas, because I visited the concentration camps, and I experienced the back house firsthand.
You mean after they were liberated?
After, yes, yeah, but I saw some of the damages that were done to the people. And it was an experience I don't think I'll ever forget. And I met a lot of Jewish people and others in England and in France and in the European countries like Germany and so forth.
Which camps were you in?
Dachau and Auschwitz.
I don't mean in detail, but I mean how you got there. And
it's something that this is done in the traveling that you've done, that I did while I was with the Army.
What was your special?
I was with the Information Education Bureau, and I also did a lot of drawing for Stars and Stripes and Yank. That was their publications at the time. And
so you traveled with that group that went to find information?
That's right.
I'm ignorant about it, but it sounds...
Yeah. And, of course, I learned a lot from just talking to people in France and people that I met while visiting here, here, and here, everywhere.
Can you tell us some of your impressions from what you saw in the concentration
camp? It wasn't too good to try to basically understand why any human being of any kind, regardless of race, creed, or color, would do to another human being what was done. There's just no reason on earth. And the feeling, well, it's been quite a few years since I've seen it, but it's something that I will recall for the rest of my life. And it happened. Many people today don't believe that it happened. They hear about it, but they're not certain that it could happen.
Did you experience anti-Semitism in the armed forces when you were there?
In fact, in some cases, I was the only Jew that was in that particular outfit, believe it or not. And I never had any trouble with anybody because my growing up on the hill, going back to that, helped me to be able to communicate. And that's been my profession all my life, practically, is how to communicate with others. And through art and through being able to just talk with them and understand made it a lot easier.
Let me go back to where you're saying back in the hill when you were growing up. I'm curious as to what type of family life you had, what type of observance level you had, say, in the household, Jewish wise. Did you practice anything like that?
Yes, my mother was not what you might call Orthodox, but she explained Orthodoxy to me and conservatism and the fact that we were Jews. And we lit candles every Friday night, the Sabbath, and as I say, participating in high holiday services at the synagogue, and learning Jewish music, Hebrew music. And I went to Hebrew school and bar mitzvah. And as you can ask these questions, I'm recalling a number of these things. And it's just something that came almost automatically. I don't forget, I was the only child.
Okay.
I had no brothers or sisters. And
did you have a lot of cousins? Was there family on either side?
Yes, but my family was pretty widespread. And what you might call a family was the people that I met at the settlement. That was my family, you might say.
But I mean, had your parents born and raised in Pittsburgh, the grandparents around, were they?
I had no grandparents.
Oh, no grandparents.
I don't recall them. They weren't alive.
Were they in this country?
Generation? Oh, yeah. Yeah, but they weren't born here.
So your grandparents came over?
Over from Europe. But I don't recall too much.
Were they from the Balkan states, Romania, or Russian, or anything you can recall?
The Turners were from Romania, I think. That's my mother's side. I didn't hear too much about my father's side, about their Judaism. Mom came from a pretty, I remember my grandfather, Harry Turner, and that's where I met him at the synagogue. And I was a little kid when he passed away. So therefore, I only remember just so much about him. But my family was my mom, dad, and me.
Did your mother work?
No, she was at home, strictly.
You said your father was a city fireman. Was that unusual for a Jewish man to be a fireman?
Yes, yes. He was a Jewish fireman for, until he retired.
It must have been very unusual. Was there any anti-Semitism or any problems in terms of that?
I'm sure that he ran into some of it. But I used to visit him. In fact, he was on the fire department on Center Avenue.
Yeah.
And he was there for many years. Stationed there, and he drove the back of Hook and Ladder.
Every little kid
can read
the
back of
Hook. Can you excuse me for a moment?
Sure, go ahead.
We were interested in going to the point right before you went into the war. You were an enlisted man, right? And could you tell us a little bit about how you...
Let me tell you just a little bit, if it's all right.
Fine.
So that there's a sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was going to, while I was growing up, going to Saturday morning classes at the Carnegie Museum.
Art classes?
Art classes.
Uh-huh.
That was called the Carnegie Tam-O-Shanters.
Carnegie what?
Carnegie Tam-O-Shanters. And I was started there when I was in the fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Willenhalter, who I mentioned before, mm-hmm. Was the person who, the teacher.
Winterhammer?
Winterhalter.
Halter.
Okay.
And she was the teacher that thought enough of me to recommend me to the Carnegie Museum. And they had art classes on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I learned a lot and grew up right there and went through all their courses.
What type of art were you interested in? Or did you take everything or what?
I took just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until later, during when I was in the service, that I started to do a lot of portraiture. And I've done portraits all over the world.
So you really basically learned all kinds of art?
Yes,
again,
yes.
At the Carnegie?
At the Carnegie. There was a palette class that we had, which was an advanced class, which I went into later on. And we painted and drew, and we had some terrific teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific teachers. In fact, one of the teachers I met years and years later, and I helped him when he was in his retirement years, and I made a portrait of him that was used to sort of announce his retirement,
mm-hmm.
and that they had a special day for him.
What was his name?
Joseph Fitzpatrick. He was a regular school teacher, too.
Mm-hmm. So you took art at school, along with your regular subjects, and then you also took the art at the Carnegie.
Right, and I went for about a year to, after I graduated high school, to Carnegie Tech. It was called Carnegie Tech at the
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
And had about a year under my belt before I was drafted into the service.
Mm-hmm. And so you were how old then when you were drafted? You must have been 18, 19?
Yeah, just about. I would say at that level. I'm
trying to think of what year that would have been. 24.
Oh.
Was that 42?
Yeah, let's see. The war in the Pearl Harbor was in 41.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in 42.
Mm-hmm.
I was in there for till 46.
So what happened when you were drafted? Where did you go? What was the procedure at that point?
Well, I went to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, as combat engineer.
They trained you?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
They trained you to do combat, yeah.
Combat engineering, but because of my artistic training, they found that I could draw maps. And so, therefore, I was sent to Fort Belvoir.
Well, is this
Virginia.
Something you demonstrated to them, or they asked you to do?
Well, it was part of my background.
So they knew that?
They knew that, and they also asked me to demonstrate for them.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, they said, okay, we can use you in another form.
He must have been relieved.
Well, it was good, because then I was happy that I was able to use my, again,
yeah,
my artistic ability to help during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sent to Fort Belvoir, Virginia, as a topographic draftsman. Yeah. And I worked on maps for the invasion of Africa, and drew maps for almost all other areas in the European theater.
Hmm.
So it was quite an interesting...
that's a whole new skill.
Yeah.
That you acquired. Where did you do that? You did that while you were based in the United States, though. You didn't...
Yes, in the United States, at Fort Belvoir, Virginia.
And then what?
And then I was sent overseas. And this will really floor you. And because of my musical training, I was able to get assigned to the first United States Army Band.
What instrument?
I played drums, saxophone, and clarinet.
Well, let's see.
And I studied that in school.
In tell us about
when you studied it. I mean, in addition to the artwork that you were doing as you were growing up, you also had a musical training too.
Right, right. I had natural musical training in singing because I sang in a choir at the synagogue, and also in plays, and I was in various musicals at the settlement. There's so much you're trying to remember.
Mm-hmm.
As you go along, things begin to tie into one another.
Right. But the instruments you picked up at the
I played center? At Fifth Avenue High School in the orchestra there. So that's where I learned how to play the clarinet and the drums and the saxophone.
I'm curious, a lot of times when children are young, boys don't necessarily go into the arts. Was that anything difficult for you when you were a child, when you were young?
No.
Did the family encourage you to do this?
I love sports as well. I participated in sports a lot, especially being at the settlement house. But art was always something that was innate in my feeling. No one had to tell me to sit down and draw. It was one of those natural things. And my teachers used to tell me that it was God-given. It was a God-given talent, and therefore treasure it. Do something with it. And that's exactly what I did. In later years, after I come out of the service, we can talk about that a little bit later, I can show you how it really developed.
Well, let's see, you were active in music, you were active in art, you said you did sports.
Sports, basketball, football, baseball.
You were on the leagues, like I said, through the Jewish Center, or the Kaufman Settlement.
Right. Everything was done right there. It was working at summer play school and day camps. I was able to, as I grew up, I was able to work with other kids as well. And I think my experience of being an only child helped me more in working with other children to help develop things with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I always believed in, even when I was overseas. And it was an extremely important thing to me to be able to touch people in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, all those things really came into...
You mean working with children and helping them? Communicating.
Well, let's see, you went overseas, and when you went overseas, you were in the band at that same time? I'm a little confused, I need to clarify that when you went overseas. You had done MAP, which you were in the service.
Yeah, I was sent over there with the 1st United States Army Band.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was in England.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just trying to remember all the details.
Mm-hmm.
After that, then we were assigned to Paris, France. And by the way, I studied at Royal Academy of Art in London in the Beaux-Arts in Paris.
While you were in the
army?
Yeah.
Well, they allowed you to do that. Isn't
yeah.
that very unusual?
I was able to take courses there while stationed in that particular area.
Huh. That must have been very unusual.
Yes, it was. And I hit on an idea of using my artistic ability to draw people. Faces, portraiture.
Mm-hmm.
I met Mrs. Roosevelt.
How did you meet her?
Overseas.
Well, a lot of people are overseas. They don't get to meet her.
Well, while I was in Paris, I was able to. She was in Paris at the time,
uh-huh.
and I was able to meet her. I can't recall exactly the exact details, but I made sketches of her, and I have them here. I can show you.
Mm-hmm.
And I also met General Eisenhower,
mm-hmm.
and made sketches of him. And I made many, many sketches. In fact, I was going to do a book on well-known people of France. What do you call him?
Patton, I noticed.
Like Baker is. Baker is Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing for France. And I met de Gaulle and made sketches of him. And these were all autographed, by the way. I have them.
I'm just curious how you got into the channel. Were you introduced because of your talent? Is that how it happened?
I called people. I called French. I learned about French organizations
uh-huh.
that could possibly help me. And through my association with people living there.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Maggie Ruth, Schiaparelli, Picasso. I have all these sketches at home.
Mm-hmm.
And many artists
mm-hmm.
and people of France that I respected very, very highly.
Did you speak their language?
I was able to speak French.
Okay,
I
so
studied
that
French
you.
In high school.
Mm-hmm.
You must have the kind of mind that you absorb everything and retain it.
Well, this is something that, having done all the things that I've done over my lifetime,
mm-hmm.
You almost have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got to be able to retain, you've got to be able to communicate, and through art and words and even music, I've been able to do that.
And you must have impressed them, because nowadays when
well,
you think about meeting famous
young,
people.
As a young artist, thinking back, as a young artist, and approaching them, nobody else had ever done that.
Right.
Who was this? You know, who was this fellow that came up?
And then once you got one, then you get the other, because you said, "I just did Eleanor Roosevelt,
exactly.
and we'd like to."
And I would show them,
mm-hmm.
And they would help, just like meeting Pablo Picasso
mm-hmm.
in France, and right in his own studio. And I've got the drawing that I made of him, and George Brock.
Could you tell us anything about your recollections of Picasso, or anyone in particular that might be of interest to people?
Well, there's too many, to be very honest with you, because I've got it all written down
mm-hmm.
in sort of like a book form.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the most warm, most personable to you?
I met Maurice Chevalier. You ever remember?
Yes,
you
sure.
ever hear of him?
Sure.
I met him and made a sketch of him as well. And he was a very, very warm kind of an individual, always smiling and always singing. And so being musically and artistically inclined, I was able to converse.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to speak a certain amount of French, I was able to communicate that way,
mm-hmm.
and it all helped. I think the most learning experience that I had was meeting the people themselves, the everyday Joe and Jane,
mm-hmm.
and the kids. And by the way, I organized several groups of youngsters in conjunction with the junior commando groups that was sponsored by the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette during the war. Well, that's what they were called during the war.
Mm-hmm.
It was kids. It was a kids' organization, and I organized this group overseas, and they would correspond with the kids here in the United States.
The pen pals.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and it was a terrific experience again, in recalling what these kids would be doing.
So you were doing all this in addition to your quote job as playing in the band.
Well.
In the service.
I was also doing a lot of publications and books for the Army.
Oh, at the same time?
At the same time. And I got transferred from the band
mm-hmm.
later on to the Information Education Division.
And what did you do there?
That's what I said I was doing. That's what I was doing, publications and books and things that would be enlightening to the G.I. himself,
mm-hmm.
as well as I was able to meet the people of these countries. And it was just the greatest learning experience.
The Army really gave me a great opportunity.
Yeah. It gave me the greatest opportunity in the world to meet and to see and to experience a lot of things that ordinarily I wouldn't have had the chance to.
Seems like they saw your talents and were able to utilize you. Nowadays it doesn't seem like those things that they're looking for people, you know, that they can open up to.
Well, I think I was a very unusual type of individual at that time. Mm-hmm. That, you know, everybody was thinking about war. And, I was involved, so I training, so, you know, how could you get away from it?
Mm-hmm.
But, I never forgot my background of art and music and being able to communicate and also do publications which teach and also document things that have happened. And that's why I...